This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's almost exactly 5:06 in the evening, and first up, as we mentioned, it is International Mother Language Day today. It's a UNESCO day, and the aim is to promote awareness of linguistic and cultural diversity and to promote multilingualism.
The history of this day is rather fascinating. It rose out of the Bengali language movement, which was a political movement in Bangladesh back when it was known as East Pakistan. They advocated for the recognition of the Bengali language as an official language of the then dominion of Pakistan, and even after public meetings and rallies were outlawed, students at the University of Dhaka continued to organize in protest of Urdu being the sole state language.
And then on the 21st of February 1952, police opened fire on the rallies, killing a number of students. And as news of the deaths spread, so too did public unrest, culminating in the end in a general strike. So the outcome of this was eventually Bengali was recognized as the second official language of Pakistan on 29th February 1956. And since then, today has been recognized as State Language Day or Language Martyrs Day in Bangladesh until UNESCO came along and gave it worldwide recognition in 1999.
Now, in Malaysia, of course, most of us speak at least two or three languages, and some of us many more than that. But, and I know I'm not alone in saying this, there are also quite a few of us who fall into the category of banana or, well, coconut, speaking English or Malay quite well without any real mastery of our mother tongue.
And I would think it's safe to say that we in the studio fall kind of firmly in that category. I think I speak about, I consider, in terms of my facility with it, English as my first language and then Malay as my second. And then a very distant third is Cantonese, which isn't even really my true mother tongue because my father is Hakka, my mother is Hokkien. So if we're talking about what it is that I should be speaking, right, I should be able to speak at least five languages really with some measure of success, and it's really not happening.
I'm in the same boat. I've always struggled with filling out forms where they ask you, what is your mother tongue? And I still continue to struggle with it today because I've never really... English is my first language, but I can't ever really say whether it's my mother tongue because in most forms, those two would be the same.
And I suppose the issue is, how does this happen, right? I mean, my parents, like I said, grew up speaking... They were speaking Cantonese to each other, and that's how I caught on to it. But when it came to speaking Hakka and Hokkien, I didn't really see that happening. I don't know. I've never spoken to them about whether or not it was a priority to teach me that. I've also always regretted not being as fluent in Mandarin as I'd like to be. A little while ago, before I took a trip back to Balik, to, you know, the most kampung of kampungs, yeah, you know, where my mom's family would have come from, I attempted to learn Mandarin so that I would be able to speak to members of my family whom I've never met, right? I mean, we're talking about distant grand uncles. And then I got there and everybody spoke Hokkien, and so all my Mandarin classes were for naught. But yeah, it's one of the big regrets of my life as it stands at the moment. I'm talking as if I'm at the end of life when that is not the case. But it is something that it makes it onto my list of resolutions every year. I want to be able to learn Hakka or Hokkien or Mandarin. And then it just kind of fades away with the busyness of daily living.
So it's always been on my to-do list as well, I guess, because it's been there since maybe 2012. And my experience with it was because, you know, I didn't end up going to SJKC or taking any Mandarin lessons simply because, well, my parents felt that, well, as Chinese schools are just, they just have too much homework for you, so you don't go there. So, but they never seemed to have supplemented, and there was never any keen interest for me to learn because, and I remember feeling a lot of sense of shame from multiple angles, right? Shame from being made fun of by fellow Chinese people and my relatives and teachers and friends around me for not being able to speak Mandarin. So there was that. But also the shame of, I guess, just not being able to pick it up, and the idea that, oh, if I'm not good at it, why do I even learn it in the first place? So there was a lot of that growing up, and that's why I kind of stayed away from it until I dealt with the shame in adulthood.
So it's from this shame that our show today is stemming, really. We wanted to talk a little bit about being adults who don't really have a connection or a strong enough skill fundamentally with our mother language, with our mother tongue, and to talk about what it is that we're losing out on, how difficult it is to learn. Is that a myth that people can't learn in adulthood? So we'll be speaking after this with Dr. Kwang Ching Hei, who is an associate professor from the Department of Language and Linguistics at University Malaya. But we also want to hear from you. What's your relationship like with your mother tongue? Do you speak it? Are you fluent in it? Or are you in the same boat, you know, somebody who has grown up perhaps feeling a little bit distant and separate from it? You can call us and let us know. 7733 2900 is that number. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we've got a song coming up first, The Beatles, Words of Love, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are observing International Mother Language Day today, which is meant to promote awareness of linguistic and cultural diversity, to promote multilingualism. And since we figured we might not be alone in a lot of people perhaps not feeling a super strong connection to their mother language, we wanted to kind of examine that idea. So let's head over to the lines where we have Dr. Kwang Ching Hei, Associate Professor from the Department of Language and Linguistics at University Malaya. Dr. Kwang, thanks for joining us. Is there a formal term to describe the loss of your native language?
Yes, in linguistics we call it language death. It means the speech community that speaks that language no longer has a speaker who speaks that language, so it dies. So it's called language death. And of course, over the years, if the language is sort of disappears, we call it language extinction. A lot of people seem to feel that, you know, Hokkien, the Penang Hokkien, a lot of people seem to think that it's on the at the stage of dying, but I don't think so.
And would you say that the banana, I guess, or coconut phenomenon is a common one in Malaysia? Is it growing?
Yes, yes, it is. It is a growing one simply because I think Chinese parents, I'm taking generally, yeah, Chinese parents and possibly Indian parents are very practical people. You know, the Chinese families are probably not using mother tongue at home, first and foremost, because for example, they might think that Mandarin is very important since China is actually developing as an economy country in the world. So they try to speak Mandarin at home so that the children actually speak better Mandarin and become more competent in the business world. And then you have, previously at least when I was growing up, you have Chinese families using English with the children. Why? Because English is the language of prestige, and the better English you speak, the better job you get, and there's more opportunity for you to go overseas. So along the way, when the children actually speak another language and not the mother tongue, what happens? The children forget about the dialects or the mother tongue, for example. So you have children not knowing how to speak the father's dialect, Cantonese, and the mother's dialect, for example, Hokkien. So as they grow up, they find it very difficult to speak with their grandparents. And because they're unable to communicate with their grandparents, what happens? The relationship becomes very strained. So what happens? They would rather move to a place where their own language, for example, Mandarin or English is spoken, to make themselves more comfortable. So is it happening now? Yes, it's happening now because more and more parents are very practical. They just want the children to sort of be more competent in the language that's being used universally. And what is that language? Generally, is English and Mandarin. So how many people actually speak mother tongues, at least among the Chinese families? So how many actually do? I think very few. But many still speak Mandarin, which is good. But like you said, it is not their mother tongue. It is the language.
So what are we missing culturally when we do not speak our mother tongue?
Oh, if I take myself as an example, I would think I would lose my identity. You know, I'm from Alostar, so we speak Penang Hokkien. Now, if I don't speak Penang Hokkien, I am not part of the community in Alostar. So when I'm not part of the community in Alostar, where is my identity? I don't have that history to cling on to anymore, number one. And number two, I would have lost that part of my life where when I was growing up, my grandparents would be using certain words that only actually manifest the Penang the Hokkien speakers of Alostar. And Alostar is a community where we use a lot of Malay and Hokkien together. So if I don't teach my children that, my children cannot connect the idea that I am from Alostar. They will think that they belong to this part of the world, which is in Kuala Lumpur. And as they grow older, they will have no connection with Alostar, which means their identity of the mother's roots are lost. And that would be sad, wouldn't it? Especially if you have two parents in your family. One parent is from the north or another parent is from another country. If you don't speak the dialect, you have literally lost your identity. And I think the other thing that you would be losing if you don't speak your native language, like you said, is the food, the words that you use specifically. And I think it's that little unique culture that you belong to, even though the Chinese community is a big community. You know, when you're a Hokkien speaker or when you're a Teochew speaker or when you're a Cantonese speaker, you belong to a little subgroup that is very unique for yourself. So I think it's identity.
Why does one's facility with language erode over time if you don't practice it often enough?
It's like everything. If you don't practice it, it becomes less smooth, you know, it's not lubricated. So, of course, it happens that way. But I suppose when you say erosion, it can happen to reading, it can happen to writing, it can happen to speaking. So I suppose erosion happens because of a number of things. Number one, our language policies. Our language policy in school say you can only speak Malay as a formal language. You cannot speak other languages. So children grow up, feel that they have to learn Malay, you know, because it's the language that they have to go through in school. If not, after for standard six, if they don't pass a certain exam, they have to be delayed another year. And that's not good for a lot of children. They feel that they're wasting their time. The other possibility, like I said earlier, is the parents imposing on the children. You know, I don't want you to speak dialect. I only want you to speak English. So what happens? That native tongue or the native dialect, like you said, disappears. And what happens then, apart from that, is there are people who don't want to speak the language because they don't want to reveal their identity. I don't want to speak, for example, Hokkien because I don't want to be seen as a Chinese. I want to be seen as maybe just a Malaysian. I don't want to be known that part of my history because I'm embarrassed by certain things related to it. So there are many reasons. But if you really feel it's important, then there are many things we can do, you know, campaigns or whatsoever.
Right. And this next question is quite personal for me because it's something that I've definitely experienced. Can you help explain that really bizarre thing where we might be actually quite okay at understanding a language, but we're nowhere near as good when it comes to actually speaking and conversing in it?
You go back to the baby. When a baby is growing up and you talk to the baby when the baby can't talk, doesn't the baby understand you? And that's because our brain capacity is made to listen to language first. We understand how words are made. We understand meanings of words first before we are actually able to produce words or able to even talk in a language. So that's the inborn thing that we have, the capacity to understand first before we can speak it. And alternatively, I think for most of us, it's because we hear it so often, so we can make the meanings in our head and understand it when we hear it more often. But to speak it is more difficult because I think it's more stressful. You need to learn how to articulate the words. You need to know how to understand the meanings, you know. And I think for speakers or learners of English, that's more difficult. But I suppose with encouragement, it can happen. You know, you can still speak it, but if you make a fool of yourself, then there's something that you don't really want to do, right?
Yes. So there is also the popular belief that mastering a language after the age of 10 is impossible. But there has been research to debunk that. Nevertheless, why does it feel much more difficult for an adult to pick up a language? Is it affinity or is it an issue over time?
I think it goes back to theories. Theories say that if you want to master a language, you master it before adolescence, you know, by a certain age. And then they give you many examples why people who learn it after the age of 13 or 15, they cannot speak it well. I think when you say master a language, you are referring to the accent, perhaps. You are referring to certain expressions which are very unique to the language. Then you are mastering. But if as an adult you learn a new language or a second language or a foreign language, you may not be able to pick up the accent because you have lost that a little bit of ability to do so, number one. Why? Because of your first language, or we call it L1 interference. Number two, adults are not so concerned about expressions or proverbs because they are more concerned about learning to write the language or speaking the language well for a reason. Why? Maybe they're applying for a scholarship, maybe it's for a certain profession. So is it more difficult? I suppose that difficulty would be more in speaking because most adults can write. They have the grammar competency, but when it comes to speaking, they are usually quite held back by the pronunciation of the words. So when they speak, they find that they get very embarrassed if they make a mistake. So that may be one thing that holds back the adults from learning a second language. But I think if there is a reason for them to learn the language, that it may be like going overseas to get a scholarship or something, then I think they won't do as bad. I don't think it's that difficult because when there's a will, there's a way. And there's so many levels of the language. Is it just for writing? Is it just for speaking? Whatever. So it depends on which level they want to go through.
And with our schools generally focusing on classes being taught in, well, one or two main languages, what are the spaces then available to practice and use our mother tongue? Since, of course, practice is everything.
It's so difficult. We have so many mother tongues in our school. If we talk about mother tongues, Chinese, you already have so many dialects. So which one are you going to focus on? If you're talking about the Indian community, you have the Punjabis, you have the Sinis, you have the Malayalams, you have the Tamils. Which one are you going to focus on? I think that would be difficult. But I suppose if parents, I still go back to parents because I think it's the oldest is on the parents. If the mother tongue is so important, like you said, for the society, then the parents should practice it among the children at home, number one. Have social functions where you get the children to interact with other children in the language because you can actually develop language practice among other children, isn't it? And the younger they are, the less embarrassed they become in using the language, even if it's wrong. So that's all right. And once you have developed this social interaction at a young age, by the time they grow up into adulthood, you still have the community. So that means they can still have the normal language they use at work, like English or Mandarin or Malay whatsoever. But, you know, when they interact in social functions, like, I don't know, weddings or birthdays or something, they can still use that language. So I think it's all a matter of practice, number one, and habit, number two. And number three is, do we really want that to happen? If we really want that to happen, then parents must actually emphasize on their children to do this. And I think if parents can pass these values down and practice it at home, the values will go to the children. And if the children have these values, it will go to their children's children and it will go on and on and on. I think that's how it's done.
Dr. Kwong, thank you very much for those insights and happy International Mother Language Day. That was Dr. Kwong Ching Hei, Associate Professor from the Department of Language and Linguistics at University of Malaya, giving some hope to bananas and coconuts out there looking to reclaim ownership of their mother tongue. We would like to hear from you. What's your relationship like with your mother tongue? Do you speak it? Are you fluent in it? Are you hoping to learn? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And today we are observing International Mother Language Day by talking basically about how neither of us have all that good a relationship with our mother language. We're being honest here. We're hoping you'll join us in that honesty. You can call 7733 2900 to weigh in. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to know what's your relationship to your mother tongue. Hadrian says, "Hi, I'm of Iban and Hakka descent. We speak English at home. I only picked up Iban in my uni years and I'm conversant in it now. However, I can only understand Hakka and not speak it properly, although that was the language I grew up in to the age of 7. With grandma and aunties around."
That gives me a lot of hope that Hadrian picked it up in the university time. I think then it means it might not be too late for me to pick up Mandarin and Cantonese.
I completely agree. And I also think, you know, I lost my grandmother when I was 13. And from then on, my relationship to my mother tongue started getting rustier and rustier. Because it is true, it's those connections with your family that keep you going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In my case, it is also with my grandmother, who I think I moved away, very far away from where my grandmother lived. And then, so after that, we didn't really speak Mandarin at home anymore. So our next message comes from Aaron, who says that the problem is people have the silly perception that mother tongues are second-class languages and English is the atas language. Even more atas if you had a British accent in English and even in mother tongues. Very educated, not realizing that it is but a tool to convey ideas and messages, nothing more.
I think that's a very fair comment. And then we've got this from Kelly saying, I'm a Hokkien Chinese. I can speak fluent Mandarin, Cantonese, Hokkien, Bahasa and English. Kelly, I'm jealous. It's extremely useful and convenient when I travel overseas. And, you know, people are quite amazed that Malaysians generally are multilingual. So proud.
Yeah, next message comes from Sia, who says that I speak my mother tongue Cantonese and my father's tongue Hokkien. I learned to speak Mandarin because of the nature of my work. However, my kids don't speak Hokkien, though they do speak a bit of Cantonese with my mom. Kids nowadays hardly have the opportunity to learn mother tongues as it is deemed unimportant. The older generation is able to speak several dialects.
My father is able to speak several dialects, and which is very convenient whenever we kind of traverse through different types of Chinese restaurants, because I'd never have to stress about ordering. But that is exactly right. I think when you learn different languages in different circumstances, it makes you more conversant in each, because the circumstance forces you to speak it, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just learning it, you know, in book form. And then we've got this from Lauren, who says, I'm from Penang. I'm very proud of our unique Hokkien dialect. I make sure both my children speak Hokkien so they can communicate with my mum. It's definitely the parents' responsibility to ensure our dialects don't die. As it is, I've forgotten many Hokkien words used by my grandmother.
And I think that's so, I think that's commonly forgotten. I think the debate about that is that you have to also encourage your kids to learn the language and also teach them, I guess also to tie in with the cultural practices that you have, because a lot of cultural practices and the languages are tied. So when one is forgotten, the other tends to also gets left behind.
And in relation to what Eddie said earlier about kind of dragging kids along to family events, Raymond says, dragging me along is how my parents made me a chimera. When I open my mouth, 5 different dialects come out in one sentence. And we've also got quite a few Hakka messages. Hello, everybody. Chris says, hi, Hakka Moy. Start with Cantonese and Hakka is not too different. Chris, I have found that to be the case. Thanks for that tip. It's true, but my Cantonese is also not the best. So that's part of the problem. Jessica says, I'm also a Hakka and proud to be one. I can also speak good Cantonese and Hokkien. Everyone should know their mother tongue. So happy to know that there are quite a few Hakkas in BFM. I'm just going to shout out one. Keith Kam is also a Hakka. So everybody, you know, bonus round.
We have a message here from Eric, who says that I'm a Peranaka and our mother tongue is going extinct. We're trying our best to revive it. We used to talk English in NBM.
And then we've got Az saying, I grew up in Penang. Our logat is a bit rough. At least that's what some people say. So now I'm in KL. I feel like I don't talk in it as much, only with old friends. So I kind of feel like I'm losing it. But whenever I balik Penang, I sembang rabung with friends and family. Shout out to all Orang Utara who misses nasi kandak Penang. And that, I think, speaks to that experience that a lot of people have about identity.
Yeah, and I guess then I think we can all relate to the fact that sometimes we find it hard to not only be able to join in some of the festivities, but also, I guess, being able to just connect with your family members.
Aaron says, hi, can I confess that I needed my Indonesian maid to translate to me what my Hakka grandma said in Bahasa? That was most humiliating. Aaron, I think a lot of us have been there.
Yeah, sometimes I end up speaking Malay to my family members. Not that it's anything wrong, but you know, everyone else is speaking Cantonese, Mandarin, Hokkien, Hakka, all sorts of dialects, but I end up having to speak to them in Malay. So that's kind of a little bit embarrassing.
Keep those messages coming. You can also call us if you'd like to weigh in, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be headed to the news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.